Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
To know you is to never worry for my life. And to know you is to never give in or compromise. And to know you is to want to tell the world about you. Cause I can't live without you.
Welcome to your place. I'm Starla, and tonight we'll be talking about the balance of faith and works in our walk with God. If you're listening for the first time, remember just press 1 to join in the conversation, and I'll let you know by the last 4 digits of your phone number. And now, without further ado, here's our host, Wild Bill.
Well, hello, Starla. Hello, everyone. I hope it's been a blessed night tonight. And we want to start off our show by giving our condolences to the Haney family. Terry Haney, which is the father to my stepchildren, passed away this last week. And having lost my father, I know what it's like, that grieving process that goes through that void that's left in your life. So we want to be sure and give them our thoughts and prayers and let them know that they are loved by those that are still here. And it's a strange thing in looking at life, how when you lose someone, they got health problems and everything, but you don't see anything immediate, that is going to happen. And I know he was scheduled for surgery last week, and yet today he's already gone. And it's one of those things that really makes a walk of faith that much more important and trying to get a grasp of. And I was talking to several people this week, and I was talking to Starla earlier today about how that some people seem like they have a gift of faith. And I know the Bible says that everyone is given a measure of faith. And we have so many different denominations that put their own thoughts to what it means to have faith, and then they tie it into works, and that, some people, can believe that once you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior and you confess that, that you couldn't shoot your way out of heaven no matter what you do. And then there's other faith that, if you pretty much stump your toe and think a bad word or say a bad word and died, you missed the boat. And so I'm kind of exaggerating there a little bit, but I think you can kind of see where, the large variation in the thoughts are so different. And I think a lot of that has to do on what you define as works. It's like some of the things in the Bible where it talks about the Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit, and different people, they want to take the fruits and things of that and the signs of that, like tongues, and they want to take all the scriptures that have to do with tongues and they want to make it all to prove or disprove the other instead of looking at it being as different manifestations of, different things. So I think a lot of times we do that when it comes to things of works and faith. And it's a topic that the last couple of weeks has been something the Lord's been really trying to deal with me about, and I feel like I'm almost about to grasp something on this that I've been sort of missing. Starla can tell you that I'm a person of, like you give me a direction on something, man, I'll run into it in that direction until I hit a wall. And but a lot of times, then I'm really harsh to judge myself when things didn't go the way that I thought it was going to go. And I'm starting to see by looking at some other people in the Bible, and it's real funny, I almost said characters in the Bible, those are real people. Those are not things that, someone made up and, this is fictional of things that happened. I mean, I was hearing someone talk today that it's so funny. You can look at Christianity, you can look at the Jewish faith, and you can look at the Muslim faith, and all of them have record of Abraham and his seed. And it's not something, and they all believe that there's one God. And so there's so many variations that are so similar of things that it's not even funny. But it makes it real clear as to how we can get kind of sidetracked a little bit one way or the other. But I think I'd like to start off the show. I'm going to get Starla to read a scripture for us here in just a second, starting with it's going to be kind of a lengthy reading, and I ask that you excuse that. But I really think that sometimes it helps us to get down to the Word of God on some things. And so I'm asking Starla to read Hebrews 11, 1 through 40 here in just a second. And but before we get into the scripture here, is there anybody that would like to start off with a comment or something that they feel on the thing with faith and works? Or would you rather wait till after the scripture? All you have to do is push 1, and we'll put you on. I guess not. So are you ready for us on that? Sorry, I didn't give you much warning, I know.
No, you didn't. You changed scripture on me. So Hang on just a
second. Sorry about that.
Hey, Bruce.
Charlie can tell you that I have pages and pages of scripture on this that I've been looking at, and but I think Hebrews 11 a lot of times is referred to as the faith chapter, if I'm not mistaken, but it's 11, 1 through 40.
Boy, okay. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had his testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, which was delivered of a child which she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars in the sky and the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say? And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight with armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. The others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the word was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
Wow. You talk about looking at the heritage and looking at people of faith. But one of the things, I don't know about you, that really jumps out to me, when you go back and you read each of the individual stories of these people, when you read about Abraham, you read about Moses and things, and it goes into more detail, it's real easy to want to judge these people on the things that they did that was wrong. And I realize that, you know, and there again it goes back to the faith as of a grain of mustard seed, the things that they did have faith in God, that they had established in them, and even though their actions in many cases was not what it should have been, the outcome of that, how God looked at it, was so, I mean, for this to be recorded, for these people to show that the area of faith that they had and the walk that they had in their life, I don't know about you, but that really jumps out to me how two things. One, how important faith is, and also, again, how God judges the heart and the intent of man. And the other thing here that kind of jumped out at me when we look at works is the works that they had was in obedience to the things that God had for them to do. It wasn't works for, as we would say, salvation, but it was like works of obedience. I think we have a caller. Don't we, Starla, have something you want to say?
Yes, we do. Sister Kaiser?
Well, praise the Lord.
How are you?
Praise the Lord, sister.
Oh, I'm just doing very well. I really appreciate this subject tonight about faith. And, of course, we could never, ever give everything that needed to be said about faith, but and if faith and works. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we have the substance, but we just need to have the complete work of faith in our lives. I just want to share a few little thoughts with you about faith.
Please.
Well, it's just your mom and I, we both have our phones on speakerphone. I'm hearing myself on the other side. We talk about faith, The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20:20 that they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Israel, believe in the Lord your God." Somebody asked me for a clarification of faith. Faith is an innate belief system that God put into every human. Somebody said they don't have faith. You have faith, but you may not know how to get it enjoined into your spirit. So they have to know that faith is a fundamental duty to be a Christian. In John, the Bible said, they said unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." So we must have that fundamental duty of having faith alive in our hearts. Everybody has faith. Everybody has a belief system. It just may not have been activated by the Holy Ghost as of yet, or maybe haven't heard enough teaching about it. But the Bible says not only is it a fundamental duty, but it's a defensive weapon above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Ooh, I like that one. Also, faith is an indispensable element in religion. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So it's a fundamental duty. It's a defensive weapon. It's an indispensable element. It's essential also in prayer. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And that decries and defies the prior statement I said, because some people that say, "Well, I don't have it." The Bible just says here, he gave it to all men liberally. But some people just don't have it activated. And in my studies, I feel like that you can't really have faith activated unless it's done by the knowledge of the Word of God and by the Holy Ghost, because he is all knowledge, and he helps us have that prayer, because we have to have faith and we have to have works. And I know that just sort of read our faith chapter, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and what a journey that all those people went on. And hey, we're in the same boat that they are and that they were. We're in the same situation. We have a God that loves us. We have a God that cares about us. We have a God that will take care of us. We have a God, but he wants something to come back to him. You know, we do that in tithing. That's faith. Exercise your faith. You know, I saw a sign on a church sign, a message on a church sign recently said, "Exercise your faith with God. Walk with him daily." You know, everybody should exercise their faith. Put your faith in action. So God bless you. Continue on this talk tonight about faith. Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling in. Did you have any comments also on, you know, a lot of people talk about works, and they're trying to say that some denominations, you're trying, you know, we stress so much about, you know, standard and holiness and these things, and yet, you know, that we're trying to say that we're working our way into salvation. And, you know, what is your thought on works as far as, I mean, I know the Bible says faith without works is dead, so it's definitely talking about works there, and I know it also says it's not by works that we're saved. But is it not talking about two different kinds of works there?
No, because faith and works are married. if I can say it like that. I've never heard anybody say it. But, you know, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But without works, you still can't please God. You know, we're not saved by our works. We're saved by faith through Christ Jesus. But then after he instills that element of faith in our hearts, by his word and by our reaction to his word, then he wants to see some works of ours. Hey, you know what? We cannot work our way through. We cannot do it. Faith without works is dead. That's why I call it a union. You got to have faith and you must have works. Those two work together beautifully in the will of God for our lives. I know some people have great faith and no works. There are people that have lots of works and don't even hardly believe in faith. But if we could ever get this machine going in the right direction, everybody on board at the same time, there's no telling, there's no limit what God would do to us and through us and for us if we'll just carry on through faith with our works through our faith.
That's good. You know, and I've had a real unusual upbringing, as you know. I graduated from the Christian school there in BB, and I had some Bible teaching and experiences from going through there that just blows the mind. And what really blows my mind is how that some of the things that I thought I understood, I really didn't have an understanding and a grasp of. And faith seems to be one of those things that, I don't know, somehow I'm really feeling what you're saying there on the fact that if we really get everything in tune with our faith and our works, I mean, the Bible pretty much makes it clear that there's nothing that will be withheld from us. There's promises all through the Bible that, you know, we sort of, I feel like we scratched the surface of, and I've battled this for years trying to understand the difference in, you know, when you talk about things like, you know, having faith and healing and things, and I went to a church to where, you know, it was part of the fundamental structure of the church, you know, to trust God for healing. And I saw things during that time that was just out-and-out miracles. And, you know, some things with time changes with different faiths and different denominations, and I've had friends that try to say, you know, why did they change? Why did this happen here? You know, did they let up? And, you know, and the one thing that really has come to mind on me on this is that I am accountable for Bill. That's it. I'm not accountable for any of the churches I went to. I'm not accountable for any of the other people that went through there. But I can tell you that I don't feel like I was mistreated because of the experiences of what was being taught as structure during that time as a child. And a lot of people that I've talked to, they feel like, you know, there should be some sort of explanation from this. But because of what we experienced there and everything, somehow or another, I was like the sound effects we were doing with the airplane last week. It just went right over the top of my head somehow. But today I was thinking, or last few days, and I remember there was a brother, me and Bill Trimble, went knocking on doors one Saturday. And poor brother Bill, his very first time on visitation, he stuck in with me. And we knocked on the door of a man named Andy Kivitz. And Andy Kivitz was a man who has, he wasn't mentally all there. I don't know how to say it any nicer, but, you know, I mean, he was a plumber, he was a grave digger, he was a man that had skills and talents, but he was like a child in so many ways, in the way he looked at things, in the way he verbalized things. And he came to a church service, and Brother John Shield was, and probably still is, I haven't heard him in a while, a dynamic preacher and teacher. I mean, he was, there's none like him as far as I know anywhere. He is a unique individual in his walk with God, that he was talking on the power of healing. And it's one thing to sort of, you get this mental picture of your in your head of things, and you get words that kind of go in one ear and out the other, but they don't really lock in. But Andy Kivitz had already been to the doctor and been diagnosed with cancer in his elbow, and they were going to have to take his arm off. That was already planned to happen. And it was from climbing in and out of graves, and that never healing there, they said it caused it to become cancerous. And he, at the end of that day, asked for anyone who wanted to be healed to come up and be prayed for. And this little man, he was just so cute, and, you know, and that's kind of how I looked at how cute and precious it was. And he goes up there, and, you know, he had a little, yeah, you know, he just had a way of saying things. He was just adorable. But he got prayed for, and he started jumping up and down, telling everybody he had been healed. Now, because of his mental situation, it was cute and endearing, but to a teenager, I kind of missed the big picture there. And I don't know about any of you, but there's been times I've been prayed for things, you know, where I've requested hearing or for answers or guidance or financial needs, just things. And I go and get prayed for, and you sort of feel the presence of God when you're being prayed for, and through the rest of the service. But when you walk out that door, and I hope none of you like this, and I hate to even confess it, but there's many times that I walk out the door and I was exactly like I was before I went in and got prayed for, even though I had a great touch and a great blessing during the time I was prayed for in service. And, you know, when you leave the church, you got the real world that you have to contend with. And Andy Kivitz had the real world to contend with. He had a doctor's appointment the next day to go to Searcy to see his doctor. And Andy went in there, and the doctor's like, okay, we got to take your arm off now. We're getting everything ready for your surgery. And Andy was like, no, I've been healed. Jesus healed me. And the doctor's like, no, no, I could just visualize in my mind, I was sharing this with blog.com. Well, the doctor's like, no, no, no. We've already ran all the tests. It's cancer. We got to take this off. You know, we got to do it. And Andy Kivitz said, no, I've been healed. Jesus healed me. And I was thinking, wow, if I could just get it in where I think I'm so sophisticated and so smart in my mind to realize that when I get prayed for, that if I claim those things and I believe and I have faith and I don't let go of those things, it's not a thing where I have faith where I'm being prayed for, but it's like Sister Kaiser says, where you got that faith, that's your life. That's where you live. That goes with you day by day. And you understand to where he was so persistent that they ran the test again. And guess what? There was no cancer. Jesus had healed Andy Kivitz. And I was thinking, wow, if I could just get self out of the way and really believe what I say I believe, where it talks about that we can cast mountains and where we can, you know, go and it says, by his stripes we are healed. Where if I could just get that mindset like Brother Andy had to lock into that, I can believe that the steps of the righteous are ordained of God. He's not surprised to anything that comes my way. And when I understand that when he lets me go through a test or a trial, that it's for my good, that there's lessons and part of the progress of me becoming what he wants me to be that's going on there, instead of me thinking, whoa, who's me? You know, how could this happen to me? And I hope none of you guys are like me out there. I'm praying that I'm an individual that's so different from everyone else, but I fear from some of the things that I see in the modern church that it's more common than what it should be, to where we say all the things. We have the rhetoric. We go through the things. And if it's not an immediate happening, or it's not a happening in the way we want it to be, then we think, well, I just miss God, or, you know, heaven's doors are closed to me, or just, you know, whatever's going through your mind, or, you know, and, you know, doubt comes in and fears come in and all those things that are not pleasing are not of God. And, you know, because I don't know about you, but I really feel that if we got in tune, like what Sister Kaiser was talking about, that with the faith like these people had, and they made mistakes. Every one of those people that were mentioned in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, if you wanted to be judgmental and look at your life, every one of them had issues because of things that happened. And but one of the things that really struck me when I was reading about Abraham today was that he went through the things and he had the faith. The works that he had was God told him to go, and he went. And, you know, God told him he was going to have children in a time where he was, I think, 100 years old, you know, in which those years were past in his life to even think about that. And you know, we know that Sarah, she laughed, you know, when, you know, like, I'm going to be a mom. Yeah, all right, you know. But yet you read this on here, and you go on down, and you can read in your Bible where Abraham was called the friend of God. And so it's so easy to judge what you see on the outside where people are weak and where they fall and where they slip and they fail. And, you know, one of the things, and I've said this a lot of times, you can't pass a test if you don't take it. And part of what God brings our way is tests and is trials. And I had a scripture I was trying to find earlier today that I'd heard quoted on something, and it turned out not to be exactly what I thought it was going to be, and my mind's going blank on what it is right now. But do you remember that scripture, Starla, that I was talking about that I was trying to find, and I read it to you? I probably didn't even tell you where it was, did I?
No. And I don't remember the scripture.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm sitting here covering up all of our time here going through all this. But has anyone got anything that they're feeling from this that they would like to share? I don't want to take up all the air time here, and I don't want to leave anyone out. Do you have any questions or comments or anything? Just push one on your phone, and we'd love to go to that. And one of the things, I just try to fill in here until someone comes up with a question they want to ask, where it talks about Hebrews 11 and 1, where it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I've heard a lot of people, you know, make different things about the now faith. But when I was reading and I think, Charlotte, if you can look up Romans 4, 19 through 21, I think it covers something of what I'm going to talk about on that. But, you know, when you got problems that are in your face, those are things that are happening now. And what you need to apply to that is that now faith. It's not something that what you had yesterday. It's not something that you have when you're with the people at church and they're praying for you. It's not, you know, I don't know, you're going to believe in something. You're either going to try to trust in yourself, you're going to try to trust in jobs, you're going to try to trust in people around you, leaders in your church or something and everything. But so many times, because I guess God's not always visible to us at the time, and I know many times when I get scared, you know, I might say, Jesus, help me, or something like that, or just Jesus. And, you know, or the thought would just shoot through my mind and everything. But I do believe that there's power when we do that, but I'm so concerned that we don't really practice to use our faith like we're supposed to. Starla, do you have those scriptures?
Romans 4.
19 through 21.
Okay. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead.
No, we're talking about Abraham here.
When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving God glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to also to perform.
Yeah. One of the things when I was looking at where it says now faith was in Abraham's situation, he said his body's now dead. You know, that part of him having children and everything, that time had passed. But the now faith can overcome the now situation. You know, no matter what your situation is, whether it's something to do with finances, whether it's relationships, whether it's something to do with jobs or it's something to do with healings in your body and everything, if we take faith and apply it to the situation that's there now and we stick to that faith, we hold fast to it. Lord, you made this promise. Lord, you said by your stripes we are healed. Lord, you said where any two or three come together asking anything in your name that it shall be done. We start hanging on to these promises, and we really, really believe like Andy did. And we, no matter what the experts say, no matter what the situation looks like, no matter how practicality looks at how there's no way it's going to come about, when we really get that kind of faith where we can be like Abraham did here and rejoice after the promise that's been given to us, have faith and rejoice in what's going on there. And we walk into it in obedience. And that's one of the things that I know is key. You can't turn on a water faucet and hold a glass across a room and expect it to be filled. You got to hold it underneath the spout. And it's the same thing with the things of God. You have to have your life in position to have the blessings of God. I know there's a lot of people that get blessings that are not living for God. And there's times it seems like there's people living for God and they go through awful struggles and things. But they actually grasp the whole fundamentals of what God has for us. There are certain things that are required of us, and I believe that's where the works and faith have to go together. You know, when Abraham went to take Isaac up, he, like I said, he had faith if he had to. God could bring him back from the dead, but he didn't disobey. He was taking him to go make the sacrifice. Everything was in place. They were bringing the wood. You know, I would go like, you know, hey, where's the sacrifice? You know, you tied me down here, Dad. This ain't looking too good. I've seen this process before with the lambs and the goats, you know. And can you imagine doing that with your child? But yet he did not, I mean, he knew that God moved at the beginning to make it to where he could have a child at a time that was past. And because of that, he hung on to believe that God was going to fulfill his promise that he had made to him and that he was going to do it through his children, just like he told him he was going to. His seed was going to be scattered as far as the stars could be numbered, like the sands and the stars in the heavens. So, and as I know I'm kind of rambling on here with this, but I really feel that one of the things that's missing today in our churches, and maybe not so much with our churches, maybe it's just poor old Brother Bill sitting over in the Amen corner. I've been the one sitting out there, and, you know, I ask for prayer for things, and I sort of believe, but then is that something I sort of believe and I go through and get prayed for, and I have no expectation of it? I'll give you an example, and there again, this is one of those things I'm ashamed to admit. I took a fall on an ice storm here a few years back, going to run out and give the mailman his Christmas card. And as I hit the top of the porch at the edge of the steps, it was ice there, and my feet went out from under me, and I'm a pretty good-sized man. And I came down halfway down the steps. The edge of the step hit me right in the middle of my back, and then I go sliding out across the yard, flat on my back. And one sense, I was like, man, I'm hoping the mailman didn't see me fall. But the other part of that was that everything in my body felt numb. I was afraid that I broke my back, and I was afraid that I wasn't going to be able to move. And it was like that thing where you bite the end of your finger and you cut off circulation and you do that for a while and you let it go and the blood comes in. Well, it was that kind of a throbbing pain in the middle of my back where it was radiating out there like there was something bad wrong. And Starla was taking me to the hospital, and on the way to the hospital, Lord only knows why, but our pastor and his wife had decided to come out to visit us that day. And so Starla rolls down the window, tells him what's happened. She's taking me to the hospital. And I don't know about where you're at, but hospitals around here, the emergency room is, you might as well bring your camping gear with you because you're going to usually be there a while. And I don't know if it was my color or what when we went there, but anyway, they were going to have prayer before I went in to go into the emergency room. I mean, I've already checked in. And we were in the middle of prayer, and I suddenly opened the door and called my name. And I still to this day can't believe that I did this, but I interrupted prayer to go to the people that I was trusting to find out what in the world was wrong with me and to help me. And I look back at that, and I'm so ashamed, because if anyone should have been put on hold, especially with some of the things I've seen in medicine through the years, it should have been the doctors and the people in the emergency room. But instead, I stopped prayer to seek treatment. And you know, there again, this goes to show weakness within me that hopefully none of you have. But it's how many times do we go get prayer and then, you know, we think, well, I'm going to take a couple of aspirin for this, you know, on the way home. I'm going to stop at Walgreens or something and do this. And like, okay, did I really believe or did I just go through the motions? And I'm probably not saying this very well, and I'm hoping I'm not making everybody like, man, Brother Bill's got some serious problems here, and maybe Brother Bill does. But the key to this is that I wonder, you know, it's not taught like it used to be during the old tent revivals and Brush Arbors and everything, and I wish I could remember this preacher's name. I've heard some old tapes of him speaking, and he talked about that he believed that if as long as he kept his faith and people kept being obedient to God and he kept praying for them, he actually felt that nobody in his church was ever going to die. I mean, three-fourths of his congregation was in their 80s up in his church, and they had cancers and things and were healed, and they had different things that come up on their bodies that there was incurable that was supposed to take their life, and God healed them. And it's because they had that faith and believed it. But there again, that goes back to Sister Kaiser. It was really taught during that time to believe, to trust, what it meant to have faith, to trust and lean 100% on the things of God. And I know Blog Talk Mama's probably got something for this here. Are you out there tonight, Blog Talk Mama?
Can you hear me?
Blog Talk Mama? You're on.
Yes.
I hear you now.
You did, Starla, you did an excellent job in reading. I was very, very impressed.
Felt
the Lord was really in that. And while Bill, you've chosen excellent scriptures and different things that you've said, you brought it to closure so well. I don't have anything other than just other scriptures that I've that come to my mind. And then Sister Kaiser just almost taught us a little Sunday school lesson there on it. I do know that this probably won't make a lot of sense to anybody but me. But I had gone to. The only connections I've had with church were Pentecostal, and I would say right now that I am Pentecostal and believe the Acts 2:38 message of salvation with all my heart. But I had been raised in an environment that I had perceived that work and giving up were the pattern that you were to use to get close to God. And it's really unusual how a truth, a profound truth, can be internalized to be an absolute mountain that you can't get across to get to God. There were so many things that I wanted to, I felt like I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that, and all these different things that would just come up before me when I would attempt to live for God. And then the first time I stumbled and fell and did things that I had consecrated to the Lord, then I would quit altogether. And I went back and forth for years in that, with that mentality. That doesn't mean, that's no accusation against anything. I'm just a personal testimony. And after I, when I was coming to the Lord, I was in a church that didn't preach Acts 2:38, but they were Spirit-filled denomination and a wonderful denomination. My uncle was a pastor. And I had just, seemed like I had just never not had a double mind about everything. My flesh would overcome, and I didn't have the root system or the foundation. And so, to make a long story a little shorter, I was kneeling by my bed, and I was in just a desperate situation. I was in the bedroom, and I was just praying and crying out to God. And I finally just said, God, I just can't quit doing certain things. And I had a full realization that I couldn't. And I guess that's what God was waiting for. Because when I really realized and confessed to God that I could not, by faith or anything else, I couldn't earn my way, cleanse my way, consecrate my way, or anything else, then God came on the scene, and he spoke to my heart that I was saved by grace. I was saved 100% by grace, not 101 or 99, but 100% by the grace, the love, the mercy of God. And then, just like two sides of a coin, God immediately told me that if I was ever going to enjoy that salvation or be used by him or anything else in the kingdom of God, all of those things that I had stumbled over had to go. But what happened 30 seconds before that made me so fall in love with my Savior and gave me such a love and an anointing that it was with pleasure that I began to throw things out and get rid of things and consecrate my life and get up in the morning and go to the Word of God and read it. I just could not read it enough. I couldn't pray enough. It was just like the presence of God was just so real and marvelous, and I could see the Lord begin to turn my life around and turn Jim's life around, and you begin to be healed of allergies, and it was just, oh, it was awesome. So it's a love story. It's the greatest love story in, that can be comprehended. It's the love of an almighty God that comes and saves us from our sin and then gives us the power through his Spirit to overcome those things that war against us. And he does give you faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can read the Word of God, and it's fresh manna to your soul, so that when you face something, you've got that power inside, because the Bible is not just a lot of letters and words. It says the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. It's an awesome, it's a relationship. And, you know, you prove it. You become a conduit of that same grace and faith and love for your fellow man. And, you know, if I say I love you and I don't ever show any manifestation of that love, then I'm a liar. You know, if I love God, I'm going to do his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. If I love my fellow man as myself, I'm going to first love myself, and I'm going to love my fellow man. If I love him, I'm going to be there for him. You know, he said, don't say, be ye warmed and filled. and then not do anything about it. You know, it's just a relationship, and I'm so thankful. I love God, and I appreciate Him, and I appreciate your program. You've done an excellent job on this subject tonight.
Well, thank you. I don't know so much about that. I heard something today that goes along with what you're saying, and it was funny. It was a black minister that was saying this, but he was talking about during slavery that there was a woman that was being offered up, and she was light-skinned because her father was white. And there was a man that came, and the bidding got astronomically high. And because of her being light-skinned and everything, there was a higher value for some reason. But this one man knew that because of not being able to fit into either world, the strife that this woman was going to go through, and so he kept bidding, and he won the bid. And then he went to the woman, and he said, "Here's your papers. You can go free." And the woman was like, "Wow, you paid this astronomical price. I mean, it was like 4 or 5 times higher than what it should have been, and then let me go free?" And said, "Since you've done that for me, I'm going to serve you anyway because you did that for me." And he's like, "That is how we should be for God, because we were on the block, and there was no way we could ransom ourselves out. Sin had come in through the beginning with Adam and Eve in the garden, and it was there. And God came in and said, 'I'll pay the price. You can go free.' And how much more should we be willing to say, 'Lord, I gladly serve you. I don't care about things. I don't care about situations. I don't care about my personal feelings on something. I'm going to put you first and foremost no matter what. I'm going to serve you.'" But unfortunately, we live in a world where there's so many distractions, where it seems like there's not enough time in a day, even with 24 hours to rest and do the things you need to do and jobs and the whole thing is there, that we get so busy that a lot of times I think at the end of the day that God gets pretty much the crumbs of what's left instead of getting that first fruits that he owns, that he by right paid for, but he didn't do it to cause us the slave. He gave us freedom. He said, "What God says, what the Son of God says free is free indeed," or "What the Son says free is free indeed." He gave us 100% freedom. It's free will. It's a choice that we can make. But the bottom line is that we got to realize we're serving one or the other. We're either serving God or we're edifying man and serving the devil. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That is what's going on there. I do have one other scripture I'd like for you to read, Starla, and then just let me know when you find it. Romans 1:16-17. And I tell you what, does everyone pray for me? Because I've had a lot of things happen where I love my job. I knew that God opened the door, the way the whole thing fell in place, that this is a job that I was supposed to get. But the finances are not there for the hours that I work, but I really am trying to trust and understand that, you know, it's just like the thing with Abraham. God didn't give him a promise and then see it through to the end. And I have to have that faith that God opened the door and started something, that he has a plan, and he has my best interest at heart. Like we try to tell our children, you can always trust it. You know, no matter what it sounds like, I have your best interest at heart. We have to believe that God has our best interest at heart. And I'm so easy to believe things for other people. I have a real hard time with believing things of faith for myself. Do you have that scripture, Charlie?
16:17.
Uh-huh.
Okay. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith."
Yeah. So it makes it really clear that faith is important. But it, you know, where it talks about faith to faith, it lets us know that we grow in this. It's not one of those things to where, you know, I think it's kind of like martial arts. You start off with one level, maybe with a yellow belt, then you go up to a green belt, and you go up to a black belt, then you can get up to being a third degree black belt. I think faith is one of those things that as you exercise your muscles of faith, God's going to add more faith to you. But it takes working the faith that we have. It takes putting it to use. and really believe in what we say we believe. If you got a choice of, and it's hard when you say, okay, Lord, I'm standing up here on nothing, and I'm believing you're going to take care of me, and there's a parachute right there to the right-hand side of you. I don't know about, but my main interest is going to be hard to say that I'm not going to be putting everything that's within me to reach for that parachute, to look at what's practical, to think of what's going on here. And you can read about Abraham and Sarah, and they sort of messed up. They tried to add practicality into it also, and that's where we have all this strife in the Middle East. That's where we have all this confusion because of the two bloodlines that came from Abraham. But God did still do what he promised and what he said he was going to do if they had just waited a little bit longer. And that's one of the things that I've shared before. I'm trying to get that patience to not want to react. When I see things falling in a direction that I can't understand, in a direction to where it's looking bleak and it's looking bad, and I'm like, okay, man, maybe I need to jump back in that truck and get back on the road before things get, you know, too far down in the pit, down financially and everything for my situation. But this time I'm trying to hang on and trust that God has a much better plan for me other than me being gone and separated from my church and family. But it takes hanging on and not reaching for that parachute that you think is there, which in one sense is really not a parachute anyway. It's just an illusion of something, because you can stay in the same rut, you don't ever get out of it. You know, you got, and sooner or later it's closed up on the ends and you're buried in it. It becomes your grave. So we're running down here to the last 3 or 4 minutes. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to share on what they feel on the subject of faith or works or maybe a testimony or something? All right. Missing your chance. I did want to share something that happened the other night. I've been trying to be everything I can be to my new employer. And the other day, I work on Sundays. They let me go in later in the afternoon so I can go to church on Sundays, and then they still work me pretty late at night. But the nighttime man called in sick, and so they wanted me to do my work and his work too. And so I agreed to do so, and I was getting tired. My body, my mind, everything about me was weary. And I was heading down 65 South, and they've got this new thing they're doing here in Tennessee and a lot of places where trucks are regulated to the right-hand lane. But it was Sunday night, early Monday morning, not much traffic out there. And I saw this car merging onto the interstate, and so I moved to the further lane away from his so that he could go ahead and merge on the interstate without slowing down. And I don't know if this person was drunk, was cutting up with other kids or something, just not paying attention, didn't see me or what. But this car came around a looping entrance ramp on the interstate, and as soon as it got to the edge of the interstate, made a hard left-hand turn and shoved down on the gas to accelerate, was going to go all the way to the fast lane, I'm guessing. I don't know what was going through their mind. But here I have a full load of gasoline in a gas truck, and how, as tired as I was, I saw that it was just the mercy and the grace of God. But I grabbed the wheel of that truck, and I jerked it as hard as I could to the left, and me and that car never had impact. How that happened, I don't know. But the other side of that was, is the gasoline, because of the harsh motion I made, sloshed first to the right and then to the left. And I was headed towards the center divider wall, and I tried to turn the wheel to the right, and I wasn't turning it, you know, like jerking it, but I was trying to ease it over because it felt like the truck was going to turn over with me. And I could feel it was very loud on one side, but it was shifted so much that I had no steering to work back to the right. And I went all the way to the left to where I was inches away from that wall. I could hear the debris and gravel and everything coming up. And then just at that moment, right then, all of a sudden it got to where I could ease the truck back over and straighten it up. And normally, even not a tanker truck, but just a regular tractor-trailer truck, that trailer would have been left and right, left and right, left and right several times before it got straight behind me. And this all happened so fast, I didn't even have time to hit the brake hard enough to turn the cruise control off. And at the time that this was happening, to turn the cruise off, I'd have hit the brake so hard it would have caused an accident. So the cruise controller said that the truck going as fast as it could go through the whole process and everything, so that you know, there was no, I didn't have time to hit a horn. It was strictly, I jerked the wheel and it was hanging on for dear life after that. But when I pulled that truck back over, I didn't feel a left and right slosh of that gasoline back there at all, none. When I eked it over and got it straight, it went straight. And I don't know if it scared the guy in the car so much or he was drunk, like I said, I don't know, but they slowed down to like 40 miles an hour. I think they realized we almost had a collision. And I can tell you that I know without a doubt that it was the Almighty God had his angels there watching out for me, that my poor old tired brain and body allowed me to see that, react to it, to move that truck over, but then not overreact. And then it, to keep me from overreacting with it, wouldn't allow me to turn that wheel back to the right till he calmed everything down within the back of that truck to where I could pull it back to the right and get in my lane. And what is kind of funny about the whole thing is that I never did get the cruise control turned off. I just wiggled up and on down the road to my next stop to deliver my gasoline. But I want to tell all of you here that I know without a doubt that it was God who kept me from being involved in what could have been a life-ending accident with that load of gasoline. And I want to give him all the praise and all the glory, because I do have faith to know that my God watches out over us and he protects us when we least expect it. He ordains our steps, and it just wasn't my time to go yet. But there is a time that we're all going to pass away, and I want to encourage everyone to do what Block Top Mom was talking about and don't look at the different, what you think of rules and regulations, what you can't do, and what they want to change in you and everything. Strictly look at meeting God, telling him your problems, telling him the things that you're sorry for, telling him what you want to be different in your life. Start there, and you're going to find that even though it's someone you can't see, and even though it's someone that you don't always hear like an audible voice come back to you, that through his word, through his ministers, through other people that's walking this path and everything, that God will minister to you, that he will bring things to you that you need to have, and he won't leave you where he found you. He will do a perfect work in you through his own way in his own time. And we're at the end of the time for our show here, but I want to thank everyone that called in, and I want to apologize a little bit. It sounded like pretty much Wild Bill Confession show there for a while, but I do want this show to be real. I don't want it to be to where, you know, it's a lot of rhetoric where we just throw a lot of scripture out there and then don't try to talk about it to where it applies to real life and to real people and real situations, because just like that with Andy Kivitz, what you saw at church and everything was cute and a blessing. But when he left that church, he still had to deal with the doctor said he had cancer. He still had to go to that appointment where they were planning on cutting off his arm for that cancer. And it's that same thing in all of us. It may not be cancer. It could be the cancer of sin. It could be, you know, all kinds of things that's going on with us where God wants to do things in our life in a mighty way that we can't even perceive. And the one thing that my cousin told me when he found out his mom had cancer, God's not surprised by anything that comes our way. And I did try to find a scripture that I heard someone quote today, and it wasn't exactly what I thought it was, but it was talking about that how God sends things our way. He tries our faith. And I did find a scripture that talked about that he does that to work through for us to have patience is what he's doing for us to be. And I think that's what I'm seeking, is to have that patience to wait on him, not just believe in him, but wait on him to allow him to do the things in my life that he wants to do. Because the Bible makes it clear that if your Father knows how to give you good gifts, how much more can your Heavenly Father want to do for you? You know, the Bible talks about he wants to do more, abundantly more than you can think or ask. And I got a pretty vivid imagination. I can think or ask a lot. But he goes beyond that he's promised he's not going to do anything that's not going to be for my good. And I'll tell you what, this is a subject we could talk on and on about, and I'm a little bit fired up, and y'all have to excuse me, but I want to thank everyone for calling in, for being involved with this show. I would like to ask everyone, if you would, to go to our blog page, and I don't think it's actually worded as friending the show, but there's a thing where you can show us as a favorite or something where it sends you notifications and things, and that gives us more visibility on the blog talk page. And if this is a blessing to you, I'll ask if you would shoot us an email or go to our Facebook page and let us know what you thought about tonight. And we're also looking for, if you have guest speakers that you think would be good for this show or future topics, be sure and pass it on to us. So I pray that God bless each and every one of you. You have a good night, and we'll be back next week. Thank you.